We started our practice in 1990. We have about 10 of us. We've been doing a lot of high-end residential apartment renovations, and we became, we say, preoccupied with the holy grail of modernism, we keep calling it, to design a relatively affordable, modern prefabricated home in about the beginning of 2002. Right after 9/11, we had to lay off quite a few people from our office because a lot of our commercial work went on hold and our residential work started to rise, and we had a little extra time on our hand. At that same time, we had noticed for the past 3 to 5 years this rise of consciousness of modern design in America, exemplified by Dwell Magazine, Target, right? That design is becoming more and more important in our everyday common use of things. Yet when we looked at our domestic space, we felt like it was nostalgic at best, and that the design of our domestic spaces weren't sort of, you know, they weren't lifting the bar, if you will, from our point of view, as arrogant, egocentric architects in New York. So we started to speculate. This was at the same time we had a number of clients that came to us and said, man, you know, we'd love to get out of New York. We'd love to just ship one of those lofts you did for us out to the woods in New Jersey or someplace just for a place to nest or cocoon and get out of the city. So we started to speculate if we could design a relatively affordable modern option that we could tap into a market that we believed nobody was attempting to address then in terms of a modern home. So what we did is we, based on a couple of things, Allison's book Prefab came out. In addition, there was a great article, I believe it's here, there was a great article by Alistair Gordon in the New York Times about the quality of modular construction was rising. Sort of the buzz of prefab was in the air, so we did some research into the methods of prefabrication. On one end of the spectrum, you have sort of what's called manufactured housing, which is sort of the glorified trailer. On the other end of the spectrum, you've got the kit of parts or the panelized, which we've heard about. In the middle, there's what's called modular or the volumetric, where they build the majority of the house in the factory, put it on the back of the truck, and ship it to the site. Well, we felt a special kindred spirit, if you will, with the limits imposed by the Department of Transportation on what you can ship down the highway, because we've been spending, you know, 10, 15 years literally designing within the box in New York City, because a lot of our projects are renovations, so we're given sort of the dimensions, the limits within which we had to design and create this new space. So we had an attitude, a philosophy, a theory, if you will, of designing from the inside out. And what we did is we took these limits that we found given by the modular industry, and we sort of blurred this with our experience of doing, you know, high-end, upscale, modern lofts, interiors, renovations in New York City. And we started to toy or play with an idea or a system, which basically we call modules of use. And there's an idea about kitchen, dining, and living. There's a concept of a large, open, communal space in which things happen informally. And also private modules in which you have bedrooms and bathrooms. And the concept is that we could create a series of these simple strategies of different ways to occupy, designing from within, and then compose them in a variety of different ways, in theory unlimited, and we call these a set of typologies, some of which you'll see on the wall. So the idea that these typologies, they weren't necessarily models to be purchased, but they're a series of ideas, a series of concepts, a theory that we were proposing as architects, that we felt that if we could strike this balance between architecture and leverage, if we could create a system of design, a methodology of design that leverages an existing methodology of construction, that being prefabrication, we could begin to blur this gap between sort of architecture and product, or modernism for the masses, or create a domestic space that could be available, if you will. And how we proposed that was by launching a website with all these different ideas on our website. And the very first day we launched our website without telling anybody, we had 3 inquiries by emails. How do I get one? Second day we had 5 inquiries. Third day we had 7. in about a month, we got a phone call from Dwell Magazine. You know, they said, you know, we want to do this competition. We're going to invite 16 architects from around the world to design a modern prefab house for mass production. And we said, that's great. We'd love to participate. We were very fortunate. We won the competition. But what we submitted not only was the design for that site-specific home, client-specific home, budget-specific home, but in addition, we submitted a big book of all of our ideas, all of our typologies, the strategy, the system that said, here's a house for this particular situation, but we don't believe in a mass-produced home. We believe with technology and from what we understand in mass customization. So instead, what we tried to propose was a system. So as opposed to maybe Michelle or Charlie, where they designed a house for themselves and this thing, you know, they took off, we literally went at it in attempting to try to develop a system that in theory we could design an unlimited number of homes. You want to tap in there?
Sure. I mean, the idea was really, I mean, a lot of architects complain about housing in America and what's available and what's out there, and a lot of people complain about it, but a lot of architects are not really, as we were talking about before, this is sort of a taboo thing for architects in terms of getting involved in really everyday housing, and it's unavailable to most of us, and so we said there's got to be a way for us to try and plug the architect back into housing in America at a level at which more people can participate. So a lot of this came out of just the idea of accessibility, availability, affordability on some level, but it wasn't born out of let's make affordable housing for America. It was more about let's just try and get the architect back into this huge amount of home building that's going on that we're basically kind of locked out of. And that's basic. I mean, the way we looked at it was self-critical. We're locked out of it because we choose not to participate. At the other end of the spectrum, there are manufacturers who don't want to see us, and there are developers who don't necessarily want to see architects involved in it. But we also, just as an industry, as a profession, have withdrawn from participation. So we felt like, you know, taking a risk and interjecting ourselves back into this area, that we could have a big impact on housing in America. And it's kind of ambitious, but this is what's kind of been born out of it. And a lot of people, we've gotten synergy here, and a lot of people are interested in prefabrication, and we've been amazed at the feedback. I mean, some of the numbers that people talk about and throw around about how many hits on a website or how many people have visited a house, how many people came out to a show home that someone did, or
an exhibition at the Walker.
I mean, it's pretty incredible how there's been a true sort of groundswell of interest in, and a lot of people said, you know, people don't really, the average person doesn't really want a modern structure. They we've been kind of told what we want, and yet there's a lot of people out there who don't want that. They're just kind of shoehorned into it, and it's been amazing to see the kind of groundswell that's gathered around this, and we're really excited about participating.
So there's a number of studies out there. One of them says that 95% of the homes built in America do not have the involvement of an architect. One of the things, as Rob's saying, we're trying to reintroduce the architect into the domestic space in America. That's one of our many agendas. The models that you see in the project, the Mountain Retreat, the models that you see in the typologies are based on our modern modular concept of leveraging the modular methodology. The Mountain Retreat is actually a hybrid in two ways. It's a hybrid, one, of sort of a blur of our suburban typology and the beach house, if you will. But in addition, not only as an idea or a design, it's a hybrid, but also in its method of implementation, in that it's also a modular / panelized method. I believe the video, I think, might show that, meaning that we had a series of volumetric boxes, but the stair, we call it a saddlebag, was actually installed as a series of panels. So it's sort of a hybrid, and that's one of the things we're moving on to now is we're working with a panelized manufacturer out of the Boston area, Empyrean, that And one of the things we talked about last night was execution or implementation of actually. So we've got these great ideas. How the heck are we going to get this stuff built? There's many, many module manufacturers out in the country. We thought it'd be a piece of cake. When we go out to them, the reality of the situation is that they're in assembly line, they're doing their thing, they're building it again and again and again. And at a certain level, it's sort of Ford making the car, and you say, I got this great idea for a refrigerator. You know, you're in assembly line, you know, and for the house, you think a house is not that big of a deal, but a lot of modular manufacturers are doing the same thing. Some of them are capable of having some flexibility in the assembly line. So one of the things we're realizing to create, to even reach a broader market, if you will, is we're doing a number of houses as a panelized system now. And we're working with a fulfillment partner, if you will, that has a series of project managers throughout the country. They've got reputations and relationships with contractors in many, many locations. So the implementation process is more streamlined as well.